go to Proverbs chapter 3 this evening. Proverbs in chapter 3. I know it's a common verse, and we've dealt with it before, and probably deal with it again another time, but thought it'd be a good place to go tonight. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." I want to look at this tonight. We're here at the... it would have been a great day to actually have the right date on here. And to be January 1st, right? Anyway. So number one, under there, beginning the year well. Beginning the year well. I want to talk about one of the most challenging things for us to do. One of the most challenging things for us, when I mean us, I'm speaking about us as people, as humans, right? I don't mean just us in this room, but I just mean us as in humanity. One of the most challenging things for us to do is to trust. That's kind of, we usually stick close to the passage, right? Yeah. Waiting is the other one. But trust. One of the most challenging things for us to do under A is to trust, right? Tough thing for us to do. Number one, it is to surrender. It's to surrender our own will and our own way. This is what trusting really deals with. Trusting says, you know what? I'm not going to do my will. I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to trust someone else. You know, someone else. And in this case, the someone else is the Lord, right? Trust in the Lord. And so, here's the thing about that. A, it can even go against our own intellect and logic. I mean, trusting can go against our good senses. Really, sometimes trusting is like, you know, this is obviously the best way to get a promotion. This is obviously the best way to save some money. And I've told you the story, but it fits here, and it's a good story because it's a real one. The little girl at the buffet. I still remember it was at a Golden Corral in Omaha, Nebraska. And I'm there, we're there, and I probably wouldn't do it as much anymore. This is, you know, 20 years ago. I used to always talk to kids. They're in the line. Hey, how you doing? You know, how old are you? You know, we have kids with us. It's a little safer when you have little kids with you. When you don't, you seem creepy, right? So that's good. When kids get bigger, you can, like, do a lot of things you can get away with. You look forward to it. It's great. But anyway, we're talking. I'm like, well, how old are you? She said, well, when we're here, my mom says I'm 9. I'm like, wow, she said that out loud. You know, I'm thinking, Mom, you got to teach it. No, but I thought, you know, there's some things, but, you know, she wanted to get the kids priced. I think at 9 they were like free or, logic says it's not that big a deal. I'm going to save, you know, 8, 10, 12 bucks, whatever it was at the time. Now it's probably 15 or 10, you know. But so sometimes trusting the Lord goes against our own our own logic, our own intellect, our own good senses. And so to trust the Lord wholeheartedly means to not lean on our own understanding. It's really what it means. It means I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm not going to lean on it. Number one under that, our own human insight is not enough, okay? Here's what I'm talking about. Listen, our own, this is a tough one for us to grab a hold of, really. By the way, the world absolutely can't grab a hold of this, but I'm telling you, even saved people have a hard time with this one. Because what we have to understand is our own human insight is not enough. We don't have enough. Sure, people are going to say, you've heard this said, maybe you've said it, something like this. God has given us a brain to use, right? You know, some people use that for how we're to live our life. Well, you know, God's given me a brain to use, and so that's what I'm going to use. Well, that's to suggest God has nothing to say about it. So God has nothing to say about it, so He puts some stuff in here, and that's what we're to use instead. So that's to lean on our own understanding. But can I say, I just want to say this, with this thing. God has given us a brain, an intellect, and a logic to figure this out. To figure out what He's trying to get across to us. That's why He's given it that way. Animals don't have that. I just watched this program last night. I started watching at night on National Geographic at night to go to sleep with. It's just interesting. You know, it's the secrets of the enchanted forests. It's not really like that. It sounds kind of like all this. But it talks about some interesting thing in the forest. And I thought, one thing I thought was interesting, the moose. So the moose, this is fascinating to me. I just seen it last night. And I'm like, I'm going to share this several times because it's really fascinating. So the moose, you know, normally the moose just has a bald head like mine, right? Well, he's got fur. But what he'll do at a certain time of the year, really in the springtime, he'll start to grow these antlers. And so the moose knows what kind of grass or herbs and leaves actually grow good antlers. And he also knows, this is interesting, the moose also knows that eating salt actually helps his antlers to grow faster. So here's what also the moose knows, that on the roads, they put salt on the roads, and so the moose goes up next to the road and eats the grass that's now grown through all that salt. A moose. And so you know what the moose grows those antlers for? It's so it keeps its head balanced? No. It's really rather, I imagine, pretty uncomfortable to carry. You know what he grows those for? Two things. Primarily one, but two things. It's to pick up chicks. I mean, in a sense. But really, it's this. No, really. The female moose, it's still moose. Not the mooses, but the female moose looks at this. Wow, that guy's got a good antler. He's strong. And so the other thing he used them for, to fight the other moose that's trying to pick up chicks, right? And they fight, and whoever wins, right? You know what happens? So I was watching this program. On the one, none of the female moose were interested. So he wasted his whole antler growing process. It was for nothing. So you know what he did? Went and knocked them off. He went and knocked them off. You know why? Because they waste energy. I'm sitting there thinking about trying to go to sleep. I was trying to go to sleep, but it was too interesting. And I thought, wow. Now, National Geographic has a different thought, but I'm thinking, wow, what God programmed in a moose. Isn't that amazing? Just evolution is great. No, I mean, just how God... And can I just say this, folks? God's put this stuff in our head, but it's not enough for us. God puts some good stuff in our head that we can figure things out, but it's not enough. That's not what He's... it's not enough for us. So number two under that is this. God's way are completely incomprehensible. I was going to make that a blank, but if I was trying to spell that on my own, it'd be ugly. But God's ways are... Spell check is great, so I get to cheat. But God's ways are incomprehensible. We don't just kind of figure it out. Well, I know what God knows. We don't just right? We don't just get this thing. We gotta put some thought in, and you know, and we don't just learn it. We talked about on Sunday how it's not something that God gives. We got to have the Spirit of God for it to even make sense to us. Okay, keep your place there, if you wouldn't. Turn with me over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 55. Again, these aren't these kind of scriptures like, man, I've never heard these. These are common ones. I just want us to put together this thought tonight. Isaiah chapter 55 and in verse 8. He says it this way, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," who? Saith the Lord. And then he goes on verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Okay, listen, here's this. The truth is that we are not even, watch this, we're not even in the same world of thought with God. We're not even close. Well, you know, I can figure this out. You ever said something like that? Guilty? I can figure this out. We're not even in the same world of thought. He is so far superior to us that the description of the separation of His thoughts from our thoughts is we're like on the earth and He's like in the heaven. Does anyone know how many miles heaven is from earth? Anybody got any? I mean, we're in the space coast. We ought to know how many miles heaven is from earth. But the answer is no, we don't. Because it's not even in the same spiritual plane. Yeah, that's a long ways away. No, it's further than that. They got this telescope, right? Y'all know about that thing more than I do. We went over to the Space Center and seen this video or whatever about this telescope that so far it can see back to creation. You're like, how does that work? I don't know either. But they can see a super long, what's the telescope called? Not the Hubble. The Webb. The Hubble was the old one. It couldn't see back to creation. It could only see to like, you know, a couple billion years. The Webb telescope is further. It goes even further. And I want to just say, and I've said this before, I think it's just amazing. This Webb telescope sees so much further, so much clearer, so much all this. They've gone back all the way. They could see galaxy after galaxy and galaxies of galaxies and others, and they still haven't found one planet where life could live. Isn't that amazing? And they're like, but we're still looking. I'm thinking, thank you. Thank you for proving what God's already said. It's just right here. How did I get on that? Oh, yeah. Okay. That's where our thoughts are here. God's thoughts are so far away. It's incomprehensible. It's really the only word I could come up with. And then look at with me over at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse 33. The Bible says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor?" It is really put this way. The depth of God's wisdom and knowledge is past finding out. I mean the depth of it. Now he lets us get in the shallow pool of it. Right? No. I mean, God's shallow pool, what He lets us get into, most of us barely just skim the surface. I'm just saying, the average Christian probably does much more than just skims the surface. He said, but there's a little bit deeper we can go into. But God is so far beyond that, that it's past, it's actually past finding out. It's too far beyond what we could ever comprehend. And yet, sometimes we want to sit down, well, why do you think God did that? Well, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Well, when I get to heaven, I got some things I'm going to tell God. Right? You ever heard somebody say that? Maybe you've said that. Yeah. I think when I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to God about this. Like, who had been his counselor? No one is his counselor to instruct him, to help him, or to inform him. Listen, when we tell God about things, God, of this and that, we're not telling God things like we're informing him of something he doesn't know. We're telling him something because we find other people pray. It's really us saying, God, this is what's going on in my life, and I know that you know, and I want you to know that I know that you know, and I need your help. You say, that's kind of confusing. I know. Imagine what the depth of God's knowledge and wisdom. It's past finding out. So number three, is this real? I guess what I'm saying here is just this, is that he would be a pretty good choice to trust. Amen? He'd be a pretty good choice to trust. I mean, God, the one that's he's so far beyond, he's so far superior, he's so far beyond, so far past finding out. He would be a good choice for us to put our trust in. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Under that, all of the wisdom that we may be able to acquire will never replace our need for God's superior ways. Because he is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. Which trustworthy just means worthy to trust. Right? He's worthy of our trust. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5 again. Proverbs 3, 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So, see, the heart in the Scriptures refers to one's emotions or intellect and will. Look right over there at Proverbs chapter 12. I'm going to find it being mentioned here in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. So, hey, yes, we are to trust God with our emotions. You see, listen, when we trust God, it makes us glad. Right? And I'm going to deal with this more, but I want to just, there's no greater place of peace than trusting God. Like, well, I know that sounds good preaching. It does. It sounds like, amen. Amen. That's good preaching. But it's more than just good preaching. I'm telling you, it's good living. When we will put our trust in God, the results are His. Right? I'm jumping all over what I'm going to say later, but I need to say it here because it fits right here. Is when we trust Him, it makes us glad. You say, do we trust glad? No, we don't trust glad. We trust God, and trusting God makes us glad. It affects our emotions, so we trust Him with that. And then Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 8. It says it this way. It says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. So what we find here, more often what we find, more often we find the heart dealing with the intellect. Okay, I want you to get that. Or understanding. Okay, what we often will find is when he talks about the heart, he is talking about the place of our intellect, our place of our understanding, and the mind or heart kind of go together at times. And then in chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15 and in verse 14, it says this, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. So, also is this, our discernment between righteousness and foolishness. So when he talks about the heart, he's talking about that discernment. Okay, between foolishness and a fool just wants more foolishness, right? And then chapter 5. Back at chapter 5. We're working all around, but we're staying kind of close here, all right? Chapter 5 and verse 12 says this. Oh, I'm like, that's it. Okay. Okay, I'm looking at 6 and like, what did I do there? Okay, chapter 5, verse 12 looks right. And say, how have I hated, what? Instruction, and my heart despised reproof. Okay, so hey, the heart often refers to our will. Okay? I don't want anybody to tell me anything. Or we might say this one, you know, when you're a kid. I do myself, right? Don't you wish that ended at like 3? But it doesn't end at 30 or 93. It just keeps going. And where we can get this thing of our will is this thing of our will thing. And so he talks about trusting with our heart. It's that, listen, hey, my will, my knowledge, my thinking or feelings will not hold up to the pressure. And here's the thing, what I'm saying. All these things that I have, see what I'm saying? All the things that I have, they won't hold up to the pressure. So, B, it's like leaning on a broken stick. It will fail us. You ever thought you were leaning on something that would hold you and it broke? That is like the worst, because you're leaning on it. You're like, oh, yeah, this will hold my weight. You ever sat in a chair? I don't know if I want to tell this story. I'm going to tell it, because this is what I do. We had a lady. We were just having a church get together. We were having a good time. And we had a lady was sitting. We brought our table and chairs back from Sri Lanka. They were handmade, you know, handmade Sri Lankan handmade table and chairs. And we're all sitting there. We had ladies sitting on one of the chairs. And I'm like, oh, man, I wish she wouldn't have sat on that one. Because it was already a little bit. They're all kind of a little bit. But somehow we're just talking and fellowship and telling jokes. And she goes to laughing. And she just kind of leans back. And that chair just. And I'm kind of mortified. I'm like, oh, no, she's hurt. My mom's there with us. My mom just busts out laughing. So you know where I get it from. And so my mom just, and her husband's sitting here, and he's like, you're laughing at my wife? Yeah. She's just cutting up laughing. She's still laughing. And I thought, okay, that was, she got up. So let's go sit on the couch. And we got rid of that set. Just so y'all know when you come to my house. But you know, when you lean on something that you think's going to hold you, and it doesn't, you fall hard. So this is our heart. When we lean on our own understanding, well, I've done this before. Listen, things are different. Even the same thing we're going to do is different if we're relying on us. See what I'm saying? By the way, God doesn't want us to just rely on us. That's why we only get this much of his wisdom. Right? He gives us enough that we say we got to go back to him, because that's God's plan. You say, why does he do it that way? You ask me about, you want me, who knows the mind of the Lord, right? I don't know that much. I just know God has a plan, and it's what's best for us. And listen, and so we find this thing. Let's go back over to chapter 3 and verse 6 again. We're going to get to number 2. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So, number 2, we must acknowledge God. Roman numeral 2 there. We must acknowledge God. So, A, which doesn't mean only to acknowledge his existence. Right? To acknowledge God here, it doesn't mean just to acknowledge that he exists. It's so much more than that. Number 1, it is to acknowledge his ways. I mean, listen, it's to acknowledge the ways of God. It's to acknowledge that God's way is often, usually, different from my way. Now, by the way, the more we follow His way, you know what happens? His way doesn't get closer to my way. My way gets closer to His way. So I'm acknowledging that, why are you doing it? Why are you going to church on a Wednesday night? Because I want to. No. Why are you going to church on a Wednesday night? Well, because that's God's way. And I'm doing things God's way. You know, why do you follow that Bible? Why do you do that stuff? Why do you this, that, the other thing? You know, just cause. No, it's not just cause. There's a real reason I do it, because I'm gonna acknowledge I'm just doing what pleases God. Listen, I'm telling you, my family, when we started, I didn't know anything. When I got saved, I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know. Many people get saved, they already know a lot about God. I knew nothing. And I would learn something, and folks would ask me, I would learn how to do something, living for something. And people would say, why are you doing that? I really couldn't answer them. I couldn't give you all the whys. I didn't understand the theology or the why and this and that. I just said, well, just because this pleases God. Well, how do you know? Well, because the Bible says so. Well, how do you know the Bible's right? I'm like, man, you're asking too many questions. Just, you know what I have to, at the end of the day, you know what I have to acknowledge? I don't know why. I'm just going to trust Him. Well, that just doesn't make sense. It does to me. Right? And that's kind of where this goes. Listen, number two, God has the understanding that we need. That's the thing. God has the understanding that we need. A, under that. To acknowledge that is to bow to His place of superiority. God, it's really this, is to acknowledge it, to say, God, I don't have the answers. Well, I've studied the Bible a long time. I know a lot of things about God. I've been living for God. Yeah, but things are different. God continues to grow us. God's going to bring us something new, fresh, and different. He's like, well, God doesn't really do that in my life. Well, that's because you're not growing. We get that? Amen? If there's nothing new in your life, if you've not learned something new about God, something new about His character, something new about, then you've stopped growing. So you've surpassed the Apostle Paul. Right? Amen. You're doing good. So, I'm not trying to say, oh, I am trying to say it would be funny. But I'm trying to say this, listen, we don't get, there's new things. It's not good enough for us to say I've already done it. No. We've got to bow to God's way. Not, by the way, not the way I've always dealt with things, but to God's way. And sometimes, you know what sometimes we realize? I've been doing this way because, I don't know the because. I've been doing it, and we got to find out, what does God really want from us? And when He does that, it changes. That's now we're trusting in Him. We're not trusting in me. Okay? So, He deserves us to acknowledge His place. We bow to His place. So, B, when we acknowledge Him, He directs our path. Which, number one, it means He guides us into the right way. That's what it means. It means He guides us. That's the blank on number one. That He directs our path means He guides us into the right way. A, because He directs us in the right way, because we are seeking and following His way. Okay? So God guides us, right? Directing guides us when we're seeking Him. Right? Okay, God doesn't grab us by the arm and yank us in the right place. I wish He would to me sometimes. It might hurt a little bit, pull your arm out of socket, but I'm like, God, I wish You'd have done that, pulled me out of the way of that truck, or pulled me, you know, I mean, you know, not really a truck, but metaphorically speaking, you know what I'm saying? I would rather that God would have done that, but that's not how God works. Well, why doesn't He? Oh, see, we're back to that again. Who knows the mind of the Lord? But I'm telling you this, when we will seek Him and we will follow His way, listen, He'll direct us there. But which also means this, number two, He also removes obstacles. He removes obstacles out of the way He is leading us. So God, and I've talked about this before, now God moves the rivers and the heart of the king, and God moves, so when God guides us this way, we miss the truck. Right? He removes the obstacles. And by the way, he said, well, there's no trucks over here. Yeah, there are. There were, but God moved them too. He said, how's he doing that? We're back to asking me how God does everything. God does it because he's God. He said, well, you know, so how do you figure all that out? Let me tell you the answer. You want the answer, don't you? It's this word, trust. You know, when we trust God, we don't need to know all the hows. God has given us so much more than we can all put together already. If I can just focus on all that I know that he's shown me, I don't need to focus on all the stuff that I can't figure out. Because there's more here than I can really get my life wrapped around as well as I should. You see what I'm saying? If I'll just get my life wrapped around what I do know, I don't have to worry. I don't have time left over for what I can't figure out. And that seems like a pretty good place. That's the place we call trust. Where are we at? Okay, number two. A. So he removes obstacles out of the way. He is leading us. A. Making it a smooth path for us. He makes it a smooth path for us. And then B. Making it a better path for us. That's what God does. Makes it a better place. Number three. Ultimately, brings us to the appointed goal he has intended for us individually, corporately, yes, but also individually. Maybe God's appointed goal for you is at the age of about 35. Some of y'all are like, woo. Maybe God's appointed goal for you is 95. Some of y'all are like, ooh. You know, I mean, either way, I don't know where God's appointed goal is, but you know what I can do? I can trust him. I can trust him. See, the scriptures teach us that they who follow God's wisdom have an easier, less problematic life. This is awesome. Look at verse 10. We're in chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Listen, there is an overflow beyond need. There is plenty, is what he says in this verse. And look down to verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Listen, it's a life, it's a long life of riches and honor. Everyone who follows God will be filthy rich. No, that's not it. You're like, wait, we turned a corner on that one. No, look at verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be what? Afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep will be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. See, listen, this isn't a promise of a life without trouble. That's the blank. But a life, watch this, it's a life without fear. And not in the sense of we're not going to fear, but in the sense of we don't have to be afraid. Things come that scare us. That's not what it's talking about. But when it comes, we don't have to be afraid of what we're afraid of. So how does that make sense? Some of y'all are like, make that make sense to me. You know what I mean? If we trust him, whatever's there. I cannot imagine any more of a stress-free life. I missed one. B. Trusting God places the results with him. As I mentioned that earlier. Trusting God places the results with him. And I can't imagine any more of a stress-free life than that. Look at verse 26 again. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So see, you will get to keep your foot. I love verses like that. Aren't they fun? Yes! God's going to keep your foot from getting taken. I was worried about that. People are out trying to get my foot. No, listen. What it means is he will keep you from the traps of life. We sometimes miss what's going on in that period of time. But, you know, there's a foot. It was talking about putting your foot in a trap. God will keep you from those kind of problems that you're getting again. And I thought it was just funny to say I get to keep my foot. Okay. Finally, D. There is no greater way to have confidence in this life than to put your trust in the Lord. You want to work on confidence? Man, I'm just not a very confident person. I lack confidence, not good at this. Man, I'd say the greatest way to build confidence in this life is to get more skill. Just to get more awards, do greater things, get accolades, get things. And just let the world tell you how great you are. That'll help you build confidence, right? Absolutely not. That doesn't work. Because you get that, and then you want more, and then you want more, and then you try to tell everybody, you know how important I am? No, I'm telling you, the way to have confidence is trust in the Lord. When we trust in Him, our confidence now is in Him. I mean, He's a pretty good choice to trust. Amen? Pretty good choice. Let's start this year putting our trust in Him. What a wonderful difference it would make in our life. I'm telling you, it preaches good, folks. It's good preaching. It is. It's good. This stuff, man, this is golden. This is like, man, that's good. We can all be like, yeah, that's good. Because I didn't really give us any profound thing we got to argue about. Or, well, I don't know. I've never heard that before. Right? Stuff that preaches easy usually is harder to live. You know, the good amen stuff, I like preaching good amen stuff. So I don't have to say amen, right? Because it preaches good, it's good. But I'm telling you, this isn't something any of us are going to sit here, yeah, that's what I do. Right? No one's going to say, well, that's what I do. I just trust God. Well, I mean, we might, no. This is a challenge. Let's start this year by saying, God, let's find something in your life that you struggle with. Say, God, I'm going to trust you with it this year. And it's going to be different. It's going to be hard, God. But I'm just gonna go ahead and realize you're a little bit smarter than me. Well, no, I'm in the earth, you're in the heavens. Yeah, your thoughts are just so much higher than mine. I can go ahead and trust in you. So I'm gonna trust you with the results this year. Let's see what 2025. This is gonna be if just half of us in this room will grab a hold of this, it'll change this year tremendously in a miraculous way. Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that you'd help us, Lord. We know this is true. This isn't a greatly profound message of new information and wisdom and understanding, Lord, but this is really a reminder of how great you are and how greatly we need you. Lord, I'm asking you that even as we begin tonight and really through this year, that we really might make our purpose to trust you. And when occasions to come, the things that would come before us, challenging things, and Lord, we would not lean on that which will fail us, which is our own understanding and our own wisdom and our own will. But Lord, we will trust you. But help us, Lord, I pray that you'd help us with this throughout today and through this week and the months ahead of us and through this year. We'll put our hope in you. We'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.